it affects the nervous system in dozens of ways. The way magnesium works in the body, it affects over 350 different enzymes, and those enzymes help various metabolic functions in the body. In the book, The Miracle of Magnesium, I list at least 22 conditions that have proven scientific information about how magnesium deficiency can cause this condition, and magnesium treatment can alleviate the condition. And it's everything from asthma to all the aspects of pregnancy, to relieving PMS symptoms, to helping treat osteoporosis. It's quite incredible.
Well, tell us a little bit about the use in osteoporosis. I mean, certainly we always equate calcium and phosphorus with osteoporosis. What part does magnesium play in rebuilding the bones in postmenopausal women?
Yes, that's very interesting, Dr. Stan. We see everywhere that women should be taking more and more calcium, but in fact, you need as much magnesium as you do calcium. Otherwise, the calcium won't work properly. And in fact, we're starting to see problems with the overuse of calcium. We're starting to see more kidney stones and gallstones and more atherosclerosis as calcium is built up in the artery walls. What happens is if you have enough magnesium in the body, calcium goes into solution. I talk about this in the book where I tell people just to crush up some calcium, stir it in a glass of water, and the calcium won't dissolve. But if you crush up some magnesium or put magnesium powder in with the calcium starts to dissolve. Magnesium helps dissolve calcium into the blood as much as it does in that glass of water. So if you don't have enough magnesium, calcium can start precipitating out, as I said, into the kidneys, the gallbladder, or into your artery walls.
And I think it's so important that our listeners really learn more about magnesium. And I will have to admit I learned a lot from the book. And we actually carry the book. It's called The Miracle of Magnesium. And, of course, we've done other interviews with Dr. Adin on magnesium. Truly an amazing mineral that so many people have a shortage of. And it does tend to relax the tendency towards cardiac arrhythmias and leg cramps and, of course, helps the bones. It is certainly essential. Of course, I remember when I was very young, milk of magnesium was something that you took for your bowel problems. So it really seems to affect almost every aspect of the body. What about asthma? You were mentioning that sometimes this will actually help people with asthma.
Yes, it's quite incredible. But it makes sense if you think of the airways in your lungs spasming with an asthma attack. What's causing the spasming is muscular contraction. So if you have sufficient amount of magnesium, those airways can relax. So it's another important thing for people to take. Migraines, I want to make sure and mention migraines. There are many studies using magnesium either orally or intravenously for migraine attacks. And some people's lives have been totally turned around. When I talk at conventions and seminars, I always have people coming up to me with their success stories, and people who've been bedridden with migraines tell me when they started taking magnesium, they got back on their feet.
In other words, it tended to relieve that terrible, terrible throbbing headache you have associated with this. Now, why would that be? Would it tend to then relax the vessel walls or what?
It's the muscular component of migraines. But it's also all the different hormones that could be involved with migraines, especially in women when they have that shift in hormones before the period or in a cyclical nature. It seems to be able to affect on an adrenaline level as well. When people who get migraines often, they'll be able to work through the week, and then they'll get a weekend migraine. Well, that has to do with the adrenaline in the body and the sympathetic and parasympathetic system. It does everything.
All right, fine. Well, our guest is Dr. Carolyn Dean. We're talking about The Miracle of Magnesium, a book we carry. We think it's an important book, and we're going to be making copies of our tapes with Dr. Dean available. And we'll tell you more about this when we get back right here at Radio Liberty. But I think it's so important. There are many of these things that are just not well known. They're verified certainly in the medical literature. But most people just don't have time to read the medical literature. I'll have to admit I've learned so much more about medicine since I had time to read some of it and talk to experts in the field. And then you can learn where you're supposed to go to get the information. And, well, it will be available, certainly, through Radio Liberty as well. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Dr. Dean, is there anything that we should cover as far as magnesium that you could think of?
Well, I think people they need to know that it's been such a successful project that the publishing company, Random House Ballantine, has asked me to do an updated version that will be out in 2007. And in that book, I talk about the magnesium oil. Otherwise, I have information about magnesium oil in articles I've written. It's that aspect is not in the book, so people can come to my site at carolyndean.com for more updated information about magnesium. And as I mentioned earlier, the magnesium oil, people can go to a site called globallight.net. and find information about that. I recently did an article for a UK publication on magnesium. I do have a UK edition of The Miracle of Magnesium, and it just seems to be everywhere that people are becoming more interested in this very simple nutrient. And what a lot of us doctors say, that if you can only take one supplement, make it magnesium.
All right, fine. And, Chris, then I suppose that if you put it on the skin for absorption, the body will selectively take as much as it needs. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, indeed. That's exactly right. You give the body the opportunity to utilize what it needs, and then it either doesn't absorb or it excretes what it doesn't need. And there are absolutely no side effects to taking magnesium, except, as I mentioned, when you take too much orally, you can get some loose bowel movements. The only people who would avoid magnesium would be hospitalized people or people on dialysis where their kidneys aren't functioning and they can't excrete enough magnesium.
All right, fine. Well, then, of course, you've written another book, and that's called, is it Death by Medicine, isn't it?
That's the paper that I worked on with Gary Null. The book is called Death by Modern Medicine.
Death by Modern Medicine, okay. And certainly Gary Null has done some amazing, amazing things, and we certainly support his efforts. But let's get on then into Death by Modern Medicine. And what do you really mean like that? Certainly many, many wonderful things have been done by medicine. Certainly the orthopedic, as an orthopedist, we could put in new joints. We could certainly get people who are bedridden up, take away their pain. So many times I saw miraculous things happening as an orthopedist. So when you talk about this death by modern medicine, what are you referring to?
It goes beyond what the benefits of modern medicine can be, because in Chapter 1 I talk about the importance of emergency medicine and surgery and diagnostics and even genetic engineering. And what happens that makes me write a book called Death by Modern Medicine is that we've gone beyond the basics in modern medicine to assume that it will treat chronic disease and treat conditions that it has no therapies for. Because when you look at obesity and diabetes and heart disease and arthritis, all those conditions are related to...
Hold that though, right there. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Carolyn Dean. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. Carolyn Dean. We're talking about her book, Death by Modern Medicine. And she acknowledges that many of the things that are done certainly can be beneficial. Emergency rooms, some of the acute conditions. But she also points out that there are some very real problems with many of the treatments that are used. And sometimes treatments are used for things that they're not going to cure. And so just pick up that story there, Dr. Dean. What are some of the things that where you think there are excesses in the way of treatment that people should be wary of?
Yes, conditions like arthritis, heart disease, diabetes, they tend to be related to an inflammatory response that's created in the body, usually by overeating, eating synthetic foods, and then a person gets symptoms, they go to their doctor, and they get synthetic drugs. And what the drugs do is add to the inflammatory reaction in the body. It adds to the load, the foreign bodies of these synthetic foods and chemicals are treated as foreign material by the immune system. Allergy complexes are created and inflammatory complexes are created, and this leads to a lot of symptoms.
Well, do you think that some of the asthma is related perhaps to the vaccines that were given, or some of the asthma may be coming from the genetically modified foods? Many of the things that we're doing in the way of trying to treat and help people may be actually producing some of the allergic reactions we're seeing?
Yes, exactly. The body responds in an inflammatory, allergic way that, as I said, makes you run to your doctor, and the doctor says, oh, you have something horrible here, you better take this drug. Whereas if a person would get rid of the synthetic food in their diet, you know, not take vaccines which have mercury and aluminum, and avoid the genetically engineered foods, we have no idea what the combination of all these influences are on our bodies. And however, we do know from animal studies that genetically engineered foods are causing reactions in animal livers and thymus and immune system. So they will probably be doing the same in humans.
No, and of course, the tragedy is that we have corporate executives who really are totally unconcerned about the terrible damage they're doing. All they want, of course, is to have a profitable product and have that stock go up and retire happy. And if they kill millions of people, do you know any government executive or any drug company executive who's ever been put in prison for putting out a dangerous drug that kills people? And the answer is no, it just doesn't happen. So certainly we do know that, you know, they put aluminum in vaccines. Why? To increase the intensity of the immune response. But we know, of course, and most people know, that aluminum is associated with Alzheimer's disease in the elderly. What does it do to the young brain? What does the mercury do? There's no safe level of mercury, so why are they putting mercury in our childhood vaccines? And then, of course, prior to about 2003, these children were getting multiple doses of mercury-laden, you know, vaccines, and eventually they took it out of childhood vaccines, but they left it in the vaccines for the elderly, the influenza vaccine, and, of course, they want to give this to pregnant women. Mercury-laden vaccines, why would they be doing things like that, Dr. Dean?
Well, the mercury went into the vaccines back, I think, in the 1920s. I've been working on a book on mercury as well, and I was appalled at this history. There was one supposed clinical trial done to see if mercury was dangerous. It was given to a small group of people who were dying of encephalitis. They injected mercury into these people, and I guess they
all died.
But
they say they didn't die of the mercury, so it didn't do any harm.
Right.
What sort of madness? What sort of science is that? And that is one of the most famous studies that sort of said, you know, why would you want to give it to people who are going to die anyway? And they did die, and then you use that to say, see, it didn't do any harm.
I know. They didn't do any blood tests or any urine tests. They just said, well, they didn't die overnight, and I guess it's safe. Well, that study was sort of hidden away but alluded to for the next, you know, what have we got now, almost 100 years, well, 80, 90 years. And to this day, there's no proof that it's safe and more proof that it's unsafe, but it comes down to economics again, because if the vaccine companies and the doctors admit that they've been poisoning people, then the lawsuits will never end.
And we would never trust them again. And ladies and gentlemen, they took the mercury out of American childhood vaccines, but don't you worry, we're giving it to children in third world countries all around the world. Why do you think we're doing that? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. Carolyn Dean, and we're talking about that book, Death by Modern Medicine. Now, we carry both of Dr. Dean's books. We think they're well-written and have a lot of very provocative things in them. And Dr. Dean, of course, is talking about the mercury in the vaccines. It's interesting that since they took the mercury out of the childhood vaccines, here in California, the incidence of autism has begun to drop, not dramatically, but for the first time in 20 years, the incidence of new cases of autism has begun to drop. But they can't tell you that, because that meant that they were lying to you all the time, when they insist that there is absolutely no evidence that there's any relationship between mercury and thimerosal, the autism and the thimerosal they've been putting in the vaccines. And yet, do you think that there really is a relationship? Don't you think that the scientific studies have fairly well shown that?
Oh, yes, and for many reasons. There are a group of individuals who cannot detoxify heavy metals, so it builds up in their brains. There are another group that when they get a measles vaccine, they get an infection of measles in their gastrointestinal tract and leads to a lot of symptoms. There are so many children who, against all common sense, are given vaccinations when they already are ill, when they have a upper respiratory infection, so their immune system can't cope with the cold or flu as well as the shot. I hear these stories constantly, and it's really quite heartbreaking.
And what happens to these children after they have been ill? They go into the doctor, and he says, well, as long as we got you here, let's give you your five or six different vaccines.
Exactly.
And they want to give them all at one time. Why? The child, it means one thing to challenge the child with one shot, but multiple shots,
yes,
at the same visit?
Yes. A mother was telling me that she was trying to keep her children healthy, and she had heard, because she's in the medical world, that you shouldn't give a shot when your child feels, you know, is sick. So, and exactly as you say, they go back to the doctor and make sure their sore throat is gone, or their ears are clear, or their chest is clear, and the doctor says, well, as long as you're here. And the husband took this child to the doctor, and the doctor said exactly that. Oh, he's perfectly fine now. Look, you're late on your shot. Let's give the shot. Even though the mother warned him, don't accept the shot, the two men decided, oh, well, what does she know? And that child slipped into autism within a month.
And we'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Carolyn Dean. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Carolyn Dean, and we're talking a little bit about vaccination and autism. And we've heard so many stories, as has Dr. Dean, about the parent who took their child in, and the doctor said, oh, well, as long as they're here, let's just go ahead and give them the vaccination shots. And the mothers didn't want the shots given, but they were given anyway. And then the child, a normal, healthy, active, mentally alert child, slips into this shadow world of autism. And if you want to hear the stories, we have a 4-tape set on autism, which every parent and every grandparent and every great grandparent should hear. And of course, a couple of the people we interview are doctors, who had normal, healthy children until their children got shots. And like the rest of the medical profession, they didn't believe it until it was their child. whose mind was destroyed. And they're really heartbreaking stories. And there's so many of them, and it's still going on today. The figures are out there. If you are an elderly person between 60 and 65, and you take, you know, three or four yearly influenza shots over a five-year period, 10 years down the line, your incidence of Alzheimer's is up 1,000%. Mm. Up 1,000%. That's Dr. Pudenberg's work. If you doubt that out there listening audience, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And we'll send you the abstract from Dr. Pudenberg's webpage. Now, what was the result of Dr. Pudenberg's article? He has been viciously attacked. He's 83. He's dean of vaccinologists, one of the leading vaccinologists in the world. Mm-hmm. But when you tell the truth, they're going to come after you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and people don't realize how important it is to listen to shows like yours, Dr. Stan, because most doctors don't speak out. You think when you go into your doctor's office that they're going to say what's best for you and do what's best for you. Same with your dentist. But I don't think most folks realize that dentists in most states are not allowed to tell you that mercury is dangerous.
And, of course, those silver fillings, really on silver fillings, are mercury fillings. They're 50% mercury. And, you know, 100 years ago, it was considered dental malpractice to put mercury fillings in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to actually create a new dental organization to be able to pull this scam over on the people. But there's a definite relationship between, you know, mental disease and all sorts of physical illness and those mercury fillings that they put in. And they continue to vent. The mercury continues coming out. Let me tell you that, and I believe here in California, you know, you're not allowed to recommend that this be done. And in some states, they'll take away your dental license if you tell your patients the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dr. Hal Huggins, he created the present situation where doctors follow his protocols in order to remove fillings. He spoke out. He was a pioneer, and of course he was vilified for it. But we now know that if you do want to take your mercury fillings out, you have to do it under very strict protocols, including an oxygen mask and a rubber dam and all kinds of equipment. So if your doctor says, oh yes, I'll take your mercury fillings out, and doesn't do a whole bunch of elaborate procedures, you know that it could be even more dangerous than leaving them in. Because once you start drilling out mercury without special masks and even an intravenous with vitamins, your body can absorb that mercury, you can inhale it, and you can actually be getting a very hefty dose of it. And your dentist as well. And what we know about dentists who use mercury is they have a higher incidence of suicide and many other diseases because they are mercury toxic.
And I know one of the first dentists I had here in Santa Cruz actually was aware of the fact that there was a higher incidence of suicide among dentists.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it among dentists rather than among doctors? Well, I believe it's because of the mercury toxicity.
Yeah.
And you see, they expose to this all the time, and we know that many of the dental associates, the dental assistants, will have all sorts of health problems and chronic fatigue syndrome and other things that these, this is what we've heard. You know, other people have really analyzed that. Certainly, do you know of any studies as far as the dental assistants and their health? Because they're exposed to all these mercury fumes as well.
Yes, there are studies about miscarriages and health complaints. Yes, there are studies and surveys on most of these things, but very often they're covered up, or, you know, you don't see those as big headlines because, as we mentioned earlier, it'll only lead to legal pursuit, and nobody wants that.
And of course, the thing is that rather than admit they've made a mistake, mm-hmm. which would be the honest thing to do, the dental organizations are covering this thing up, and they will attack the dentists who try to tell you the truth. In a similar manner, sometimes as far as medicine is concerned, I mean, people have come up with treatments for cancer. They've come under tremendous pressure, and people say, why would anybody want to suppress a treatment for cancer? We've got a wonderful four-tape set called The New Order of the Barbarians. It's basically interviews with Dr. Denniker, who back in 1969 heard the head of Planned Parenthood's medical division, Dr. Richard Date, chief of medicine at Planned Parenthood, talk about the plan to foster new diseases and to suppress treatments of cancer. Why? Because there are too many patients in the world, too many people in the world, and they've got to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. And you say, nobody could feel that way. Well, I suggest you get our four-tape set. Comes with a transcript. The New Order of the Barbarians even tells you in 1969 how they were going to destroy the American automotive industry. And, of course, the Japanese and foreign industries would take over car production here in the United States. 1969, a lot of these interviews were recorded in the early 1990s. So this is not simply somebody, you know, looking back and trying to give you a false story. I interviewed Dr. Denniker myself. Is it possible that anything could be this evil? And I would like to suggest it really can. What do you think?
Definitely. What I wanted to mention, a new tape that just came out, a DVD called Dying to Have Known. It's by the Gershon people. I'm in it, actually. I was filmed in New York. And
now, what's the title again?
Dying to Have Known.
Dying to Have Known, okay.
And it's about Gershon's work and how he was vilified because with simple dietary changes, he was curing people of cancer.
And of course, it's not just Dr. Gershon. Certainly, Dr. Mm-hmm. Day has been harping, advocating this for a long time. There's a Hallelujah diet, which antedated, I don't know if it antedated Gershon, but it antedated Dr. Day. And it was advocated by a minister in the Middle East, somewhere in the Midwest. We have interviews with him going into the background of how he was able to cure his own diet and own cancer with diet and the cancers of literally thousands of other people, the Hallelujah diet.
Wow.
Have you ever heard of that?
I have.
Well, anyway, why don't you tell our listeners about Dr. Gershon? Because actually his family lives over here in the Monterey Bay area, although their clinic has to be in Mexico. They would not allow a clinic here in America that was actually curing cancer.
Right. Well, I'm sure you've had Howard Strauss on your program, and if not, you could, because he's the grandson of Dr. Gershon, and he wrote a biography on Dr. Gershon called, I'll have to find it here in my library for you, but he wrote a wonderful biography that talked about this Gershon cure right up to the present day, where, as you say, they have a clinic in Mexico. And they take people who are literally dying, usually of cancer, and they put them on a raw food diet, juicing, using some enemas, using some ozone in the air, and they turn these people around.
Well, of course, they're not going to cure everybody, but at least these are people that, you know, the end of the rope, that nothing can be done for them. I remember one woman was a very good friend of mine. She had pancreatic carcinoma. They all died. She was sent home to die. And she went to Mexico, and she got treatments, and she's as healthy as I am.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe healthier for that matter. But anyway, I mean, of course, I mean, there's some people who are quacks, too, but there really are people who do have treatments, and they're not allowed to use them in America. We have a book called The Brzezinski Breakthrough, What Happened to Dr. Brzezinski, who had an excellent treatment for cancer and was really doing such a good job with children with brain cancers, and they will not allow children to have the treatment, knowing full well that it's going to cure them. Why would anything be that evil? Well, because there really are evil people out there. When you understand it, why you begin to understand so much of what's going on in the world today.
Yeah, when you accept that part. Well, the book by Howard Strauss on his grandfather is called Healing the Hopeless. And it actually is a wonderful story. And it also shows people that if they take a complete about shift in their attitude and their lifestyle, they can beat a lot of these diseases. There has to be a big change in attitude. You can't go through a cancer diagnosis and then, you know, go to one of these clinics and think that someone is going to give you a few pills and you'll be fine. You really have to shift the way you look at the world and understand that you have to take control of your own life and your own lifestyle.
And, of course, really so much of this is diet.
Yes. Yes, everything you put in your mouth can help you or hurt you.
In fact, somebody just called in and said the media is still pushing there's no harm for mercury theme. Well, but you have to understand the media is controlled. 90% of our media is controlled by 5 mega corporations, and they're simply lying to the American people. In fact, it was about 3 months ago when every one of the major media outlets in America suddenly was talking about autism. Oh, terrible autism, terrible epidemic of autism, mm-hmm. tragic children, but certainly there's no treatment, and don't for one minute think that, you know, it's the mercury, and certainly don't try to get that mercury out of your child. Why, you could harm them.
Mm-hmm.
Here are children, they've destroyed their minds, and you go back, anybody can, 3-4 months ago, New York Times, Washington Post, Denver Post, Wall Street Journal, you know, Time Magazine, Newsweek Magazine, U.S. News and World Report, ABC, CBS, and NBC, a massive media campaign designed to convince us that there is absolutely nothing to worry about from the mm-hmm. thimerosal in our vaccines, knowing full well, and we have this study on Sunday, reports of the actual minutes of the reports of CDC secret meetings that were held where they admitted there was a problem. But we can't let the American people know. But some of the people said, well, our children are not going to get this. We're not going to get our grandchildren to have these vaccines, but we're going to keep this secret from the public because, after all, we wouldn't want them to lose confidence in us, would we?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we've got ourselves into a terrible bind where profits come before health, integrity, morals. It's something that is really eroding the whole fabric of the Western world.
You're absolutely right. But even more than profits, I think the realization has to come out that there really are people who are wicked and evil. I know I met them when I went to the Centers for Disease Control back in, I think it was 1988, before I wrote my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic.
Mm.
Today in America, over 500,000 people have died of AIDS, another million infected. We're not trying to stop the epidemic. Because it's primarily a disease of blacks and homosexuals, and who cares about blacks and homosexuals?
Mm.
Everybody should care about them, because every one of them is a human being made in the image and likeness of God, and we are allowing this disease to continue spreading, and we're not doing anything of the logical things to stop its spread, either in this country or throughout the world. So when you understand that, it all makes sense. And those of you who haven't read my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, I really need to read it. Now, when I wrote it, I didn't understand the population control agenda monograph or where the HIV virus came from. I do now, but that's another subject. Right now, our guest is Dr. Carolyn Dean, and we're talking about, well, we're really talking about some of the things that are being done as far as our vaccines are concerned, but what about some of the medicines? What about the statin drugs? Everybody's taking a statin drug. The doctor tells you, if you don't take the statin drug, you're going to die, and you don't want a stroke or heart attack.
I know. It's incredible with some of the clients I have in my my telephone consulting. It's all the same story. I went to my doctor. My cholesterol is 210, and he put me on a statin drug. Now, as you've told me before, Dr. Stan, 100 years ago, the normal cholesterol was 260 or 270. Now, in order to sell the statin drugs, they're trying to scare people into taking these medications when their cholesterol is 201. And some doctors are saying, oh, you should be down to 180, with no scientific proof that banging your cholesterol down lower and lower is going to prevent you from having a heart attack. And the other thing that may be new for you that I found in my magnesium research is that magnesium is a natural statin.
In other words, it tends to lower the cholesterol.
It does lower cholesterol. I have a paper by Dr. Mildred Zelig, who passed away. She was a famous magnesium researcher. And she shows in her paper that if you use magnesium, it can have the same effect as a statin drug without the horrible side effects. Because everybody I speak to who's on a statin drug, and I'll say, oh, well, since you started, do you have more aches and pains? And they'll say, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. I just thought I was getting older.
And, of course, the thing is because it attacks the muscles. And,
yeah.
And of course, it suppresses the CoQ10 level, which predisposes you to congestive heart failure and all sorts of motor muscle weakness and all sorts of other problems.
Yes, it's quite incredible how people seem to accept these, you know, so-called side effects, whereas in fact, they're just the effects of these drugs.
And, of course, as you get your cholesterol down, well, it affects your mood. It affects your hormone because, after all, hormones are made out of cholesterol. And, of course, there's a direct relationship between the sterols in your body and the cholesterol. And then, of course, so many people, their whole attitude will change. Nobody ever mentions the increased cancer risk that comes with, use of the statin drugs, which probably far outweighs any benefit you might get as far as cutting down on cancer. And when they tell you're going to, 50% increase in longevity, what they may be talking about is the difference between a 3% and 2% death, if mm-hmm. whether you take them or not. And they juggle those figures around, mm-hmm. and most people never read the package inserts. Have you run into that?
Oh, definitely. And
go ahead.
One of the studies I came across is only 6% of ads in medical journals are true.
And of course, really, if any of you would like a copy of the page out of the Physician's Desk reference on Crestor, where it says, there is no evidence that this medicine influences cardiac morbidity or cardiac mortality. Trouble is, most people don't know what they're reading. Cardiac morbidity is heart disease. Cardiac mortality is death from heart disease. If it doesn't do any good, why are you taking it? Well, I'll tell you, it does a lot of good. I mean, if you are Pfizer and you're selling this at an exorbitant price, we'll be right back here to wrap up today's program. Well, we've got Dr. Carolyn Dean with us. Dr. Dean, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What's the message you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I think I probably have left the same message several times, Dr. Stan. It's that people have to take control of their own health. Listen skeptically to everything. I mean, even what we're saying. Try to judge for yourself what is common sense, and come to a realization that you have to take care of your own health and can't let someone who has a financial interest sway you. For example, when you go to websites that are foundations for certain diseases, look and see who the sponsors are. Always find out where the money trail goes, because what we're faced with these days is the commercialization of our health and of health care to the point that you really can't trust the medicines and the therapies that are out there. And what you need to do is trust yourself, trust your intuition and your own common sense. And that should lead a person back to slowing down. Try not to have both parents working full time where your children are forced to eat fast foods and junk foods, and get back to the basics. I mean, that is my major message at all times. And personally, for me, people can come and visit my website at carolyndean.com and get in touch with me. And I just love giving out information and trying to help folks.
All right, fine. And, of course, that address again, that website is carolyndean.com. Is that right?
That's right. CarolynDean.com.
All right, fine. Well, I really appreciate so much your being a guest here. I think, and I recommend to our listeners, your book, the miracle of magnesium, and then, of course, death by modern medicine. They've got a great deal of good information in them, and we make both of these books available to Radio Liberty because we think people have to begin analyzing what's going on and beginning to protect their own health. Dr. Dean, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, that was Carolyn Dean. We've had Carolyn before, but I think that it's so easy to forget about magnesium, and I think it's so easy simply to get swept up in what you watch on television. And remember, the drug companies are making fabulous sums of money, and you better understand that they're not interested in your health. They are interested, of course, in the bottom line. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, our guest today was Carolyn Dean. Her website is carolyndean.com, www.carolyndean.com. We do carry both of her books, The Miracle of Magnesium and Death by Modern Medicine. And certainly we carry a number of other books up on health, which you think are excellent. Certainly the book that I rely upon is Dr. Rosa Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Health and Nutrition Secrets and Can Save Your Life. And then, of course, you certainly would want to get Dr. Blaylock's excellent book, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, because if you know somebody's got cancer and they're going to go to chemotherapy and their hair's going to fall out, they're going to get deathly ill. But if you follow Dr. Blaylock's advice, your hair is not probably going to come out and you're not going to be deadly ill. And I've heard this from many of our listeners who either gone through this terrible experience themselves or had relatives who have and have done the right thing. That's Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. His other book is Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. And you must understand they're poisonous. With NutraSweet, they know how deadly it is. They know how deadly MSG is in. That's why it's in so many of your food products. That's why it's in so many of your diet drinks. Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. Now, we have four tape sets on by that title as well. And we have four tape sets on aspartame and MSG. You need to get the information, because nobody's going to look after your health other than yourself. We have four tape sets on fluoride. They're poisoning us with fluoride. In Newburgh, New York, where they did the original fluoride study, you had twice as much heart disease as you did in Kingston, New York, which was the control area. In Newburgh, New York, where they did the original studies on fluoride, water fluoridation, why the girls entered the monarchy at a much level, monarchy at a much younger age, which is why so many girls have endocrine problems and dysfunction. You're poisoning their endocrine system with fluoridated water. Why would you do that? Because there really are people out there, great people. We have a talk I've given on the history of water fluoridation. We've got an excellent syllabus that has all the documentation that you need. Letters from all the countries in Europe. When asked if they fluoridated the water, they said, of course not. Why would you want to fluoridate the water? Why would you want to put a poison in the water? Why are they doing it here? Well, for the same reason that Adolf Hitler did it in the occupied areas after they conquered them during the Second World War. Because it tends to lower the awareness of the people, makes them more docile. That's why the Soviets use this, in the concentration camps. If you would like the documentation, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll give you the pages out of a book that goes into this, written many, many years ago, I think 1957. At the same time, they were beginning to put the fluoride into our water to poison our children and to lower their IQs. And they know that it'll lower the IQ probably 5 to 10 points. But you don't want smart people in a slave state. You want docile people who go along with the agenda. We have a wonderful book. It's called The Fluoride Deception by Chris Bryson. You need to get this. You need to understand all about, of course, the damaging effect of mercury. And we have four tape sets on mercury and updates on mercury. And we have videos on all of these subjects. They're all available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. But even more important, let me suggest that you get my talk. It's called Planned Population Reduction. We have a very effective public health policy in America on sexually transmitted disease. We have 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease, according to the CDC. That is either the greatest public health tragedy of all time or a very successful genocidal policy Which do you think it is? Because we're continuing exactly the same policies, the same thing in Africa with their AIDS policy, where you have a situation where you have 46% of the women in Botswana who are pregnant, who come in before they deliver their children, 46% are HIV infected, they're all going to die. That's either a public health tragedy or a very successful genocidal policy. And what are they doing? They're continuing to do the same policy. You have to understand there are wicked and evil people out there. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.